we are in this season of expecting a miracle, of looking for miracles all around us. And a miracle actually is an event that's inexplainable by natural or scientific kind of laws, and so it is attributed to something that is supernatural. For us who are followers of Jesus, we would say it's attributable to God. Would you disagree with that? Something that is beyond us, something we can't really explain, but it's something that we attribute to God's power, God's work in our world or in our lives. Now, in a world that's become very jaded and cynical, would you disagree that's kind of the world we live in right now? But in a world that's become a little more cynical, it's difficult oftentimes for us to still believe that miracles really happen. I mean, we kind of question everything, do we not? But miracles still happen because we have a God who is a God of miracles. Our faith is rooted in the miracle of life, death, and what? Resurrection. That's a miracle. Amen? Amen. Unexplainable. Only possible by God. We worship a God who is omnipotent, who can do all things. That's pretty miraculous. We worship a God who is omnipresent, who is everywhere, at all times and all spaces, our God is there. That's pretty miraculous, is it not? We worship and believe in His Son, Jesus, who performed all kinds of miracles, who is still present with us even in this day, who caused miracles to happen in everyday human beings, who could speak to a storm and the storm would cease. That's pretty miraculous, is it not? We worship and believe in a Holy Spirit, God present with us, who strengthens us, who comforts us, who teaches us, who guides us at all times and all places. We believe in a God who has performed and is still performing miracles in our everyday lives. And because of these miracles, our lives are different. We can live our lives differently. And we have power to have a different life than would have been possible if we just lived it on our own. Amen? Amen. We are a people of miracles. And writing from his prison cell, Paul sends a letter to the church in Philippi. And it wasn't just intended for the church in Philippi. It was intended for all the churches that would hear it, and all both then and all the churches that would come to be. So Paul, from his prison cell, wrote a letter to you and me. Now that's something to think about for a minute, isn't it? Paul wrote a letter to you. Just let that sink in a minute. You didn't really react much. Paul wrote a letter to you. To you. In your situation, in your time, Paul wrote you a letter. And it's a letter that we find a particular verse that we turn to. In fact, we've sung about it two or three different times this morning already, but we turn to and we call out this verse every time that we're hard-pressed, every time that we're looking for a miracle, every time that we're unsure. It's one of those verses that those of us who don't even memorize things, we've heard enough that we can repeat, right? And it comes from Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 10. We're going to get to the verse. You'll recognize it when you hear it. But here's what Paul writes from his prison cell. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Boy, that right there, that is something, huh? That's a miracle. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. Oh, did you hear that verse? I can do everything. King James Version says it this way: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Living Bible says it this way: for I can do everything God asks me to with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power. Ooh, that's pretty good, is it not? Or this one from the Message: I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Man, I need that verse once in a while too, right? I can make it through anything with the one who makes me who I am. I can, the contemporary English Bible says, I can endure all things. I can endure all things through the power of the one who gives me strength. Now, no matter which version you hear that verse in, it's good news. Agreed? I mean, it is good news that is packed with all kinds of power and promise. Now, I'm thinking, did Paul think that he was some kind of superhuman being or some kind of superhero? I mean, I'd like some superhero powers. How about some of you? You know, I'll take some. There are days I'd like to fly, even though I'm afraid of heights. There are days I'd really like to be speedy, you know? There are days I'd like to be able to read someone's mind. Ooh, some of you would be in trouble right now. You know, there are days when I'd like to have strength. There are some days, well, like yesterday when I was washing windows, I'd like to be a little more elastic. Right? There are days we'd like that superhuman kind of thing. But that's not what Paul's talking about. Did Paul think that he could do all things because he was equivalent to Jesus? Nah, not a chance. In fact, later on in some of his other letters, he made sure that we knew he understood he was not Jesus. Didn't even consider himself to be equal with him in any kind of way. No, but Paul did believe that through faith in Christ, he had the power of the Holy Spirit and was able to do, more importantly, he was able to be, do you hear that? Be something that was beyond himself. Something that he could be that was more than he could be if he were just relying on his own human abilities and his own human intellect. Something that allowed him to be faithful in all circumstances. Man, I need that. How about you? To be faithful in all circumstances. And not only was that Paul convinced that that was true for him as he was writing from his prison cell, he was convinced it was true for the people he was writing to. Now, may I remind you, Paul's letter was to who? You and me. Paul was intending that we would know that this was true for us. So when Paul said all things, what did he mean really by all things? What was it that he thought that we could do in our present circumstances? I'm thinking that Paul had a different life balance maybe than I have. How about you? G.K. Chesterton once said, Christians ought not to be better than other people ought to be, but they ought to be better than other people are. Amen. Because what we are sometimes is not better. Amen? Doesn't mean we're superior. Just means we're called to a better life. Christians need to do this because everyone ought to be compassionate. Amen? Everyone ought to be grace-filled and loving. Everyone ought to be forgiving, but they're not. But we, as Christ followers, ought to live that way. Christians still ought to be better than other people. And that requires a power beyond ourselves. That requires us to sometimes live miraculously. All right? It is beyond scientific understanding of how to be grace-filled when someone cuts you off on the road. Amen? I mean, it's beyond scientific understanding of how you can forgive someone who has just been extremely cruel to you. Agreed? It is beyond scientific understanding of how it is that we can be loving towards those that are so hateful towards us. Agreed? We are called to live miraculously. Because through Christ we have the grace to do what is good. Through Christ we have the opportunity to do all things for His glory. That's what Paul's encouraged us to do. And in this sense, Paul was able to be satisfied in every situation and in every act that he found himself in, because he could bring glory to God in those kinds of ways. Now I'm just thinking, I was at the high school football game the other night. When the referee makes a bad call against your team, do you give glory to God? Whoa! Just asking. For a friend, of course. Right? When you're in that spot and things are difficult and you're waiting on tests from the doctor, do you give glory to God? When the sermon is really bad, do you give glory to God? I'm just saying, you know. But Paul is encouraging us to do that. In fact, Paul is telling us that we could, because Paul says, I'm satisfied in every situation. And think about the situation that Paul is writing from. Where is he? He is in prison. He is fearing for his life. He knows which is imminent. I mean, it's not a good place to be. It's not a good situation to be in. And yet Paul is living there, giving glory to God. He is changing the lives of his jailers. He is changing the lives of the people he's in prison with. He is changing the life of the church in Philippi. He's changing your life and my life as we hear his words. Amen? Amen. He is giving glory to God. He's doing miraculous things. Not the same kind that Jesus did, but those kind of things that are still beyond explanation. He's finding strength and hope and joy and peace, even in the moments when life shouldn't be that kind of way for him. This is the power of Christ that he is proclaiming. This is the power of Christ that he's saying lives in us, that can transform us, that can make us different than who we otherwise could be. This is the power that lets us do all things, and it doesn't rob us from joy or contentment. It gives us all those things in Christ. So what are those all things that Paul is really telling us that we can do? I want you to hear them. The first one is this: through Christ we can love across our differences. Now you have to back up in his letter to the Philippians just a little bit. But if you back up a few verses, you'll discover that in his letter, he's talking about these two women, these two followers of Jesus, and they're not getting along. I mean, they're at disagreement. Can you imagine anybody in church disagreeing with each other? I mean, can you just picture it? It's almost unheard of, right? Need to step aside. Now, we don't know what the situation was. We don't know how they disagreed with each other. We don't know if it was just a word that they misspoke at one time or another. We don't know if it was something really, really egregious that they did to one another. All we know is that the difference between them had become an embarrassment for the gospel. It had become an embarrassment for the church. It had become a difficulty for the church. And so Paul writes these words in chapter 4, verse 2. He says, "Now I appeal to you, Euodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement." That'd be like mom or dad saying, "Can't you just get along? Stop touching her. Don't look at her anymore. Can't you just get it together? You don't even have to like each other. Just stop." Oh, sorry. I was talking about the Republicans and Democrats, I think. Oh, that slipped out. Anyway, Paul said, you know, because he believed you can love across differences. Amen? He believed that you could forgive each other. And isn't that just the way of Jesus? Jesus loved across differences. He forgave folks who even were out to take his life. What makes it even better that Paul is talking to these two women, and what makes it just like God to record this in his word, is to know what those two women's names meant. Euodia means beautiful words. Gets better. Syntyche means coming together. Paul saying, hey, come together with beautiful words. Man, isn't that just like God? Even in their names is the root of their healing. Even in their names is the root of who God is to them. Even in your name, Christian, is your healing. Even in your name, son and daughter of the living Lord, is your healing. Amen? We can love across differences. That's an all thing, right? At least in my world it is. I can do all things. Here's another one. Through Christ, we can live through anxiety. Ever been anxious? Up to and including now? We can live through our anxious moments in life. And heaven knows we are an anxious people. We have heard Jesus tell us not to worry, to cast our fears and our worries upon him. And it seems impossible to do. And yet Paul is telling us, but all things you can do, you can cast your worries on him. You can give your anxieties to him. You can do this because Christ strengthens you and gives you power to do this. You can't live through anxiety on your own, but through Christ, Paul says, you can do it. Here's what he says, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about what? Everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has already done. And then you will experience God's what? Peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. It's beyond scientific proving. It's miraculous. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. I mean, there are 1,000 different things every day that can raise your blood pressure. Amen? Woo! But Jesus bids us come to him, all of us who are weary and heavy laden, and he will give us rest. But how can I do that with all the deadlines I'm facing? How can I do that with all the bills that need to be paid? How can I do that with all the things that are on my to-do list? How can I do that with all the places I need to be for my kids? How can I do that with everything that I'm dealing with? How can I do that? Doesn't he know all these things need to be done? I mean, tell someone who's in that kind of spot as a single parent. Tell someone who's in that spot with their bills. Tell someone who's in that spot with their health. Tell someone not to be anxious. But Paul did. Jesus did. And Paul said, you can live through this. It's not going to disappear, but you can live through this through Christ who strengthens you. How can I get through this time of trial? Paul says, look at me. I'm hanging out here in jail. But I have Christ's peace. I will get through this. Through Christ, we can join our thinking with our doing. That's another all thing that we can do. We can join our thinking with our doing. We can show the world a whole other way of living. It's not just by the power of positive thinking. It's not that just setting our minds just right. It is focusing on where our real strength comes from. Thinking of not just what you believe, but also living out what you say you believe. Hear what Paul says, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you have heard from me and saw me doing. Then God of peace will be with you. Keep putting into practice what you have received from me. Have you ever known something and you still didn't do it? Up to and including now, right? Have you ever known better and still did it anyway? Paul says, think and do. Believe it, know it, and then do it. Those think and do kind of things need to be joined together. Through Christ, you don't just think and believe things. You do things. You do the things that you believe about Jesus. You do the things you believe that he's called you to do. You do what God is asking you to do in obedience. And in fact, Jesus says that when you do these things, even greater things will you do. You're just not going to do all things. You're going to even do greater things. I can't even imagine that promise. How about you? I look at what Paul did. I look at what Jesus did. I look at what the disciples did. I look what the faithful people do. And then I hear Jesus and I hear Paul saying, you know, I can do those things. I mean, just turn to somebody and just say out loud if you're by yourself, just say, I can do all things. Just say that. I can do all things. Man, isn't that good? And when we do all things, one of the all things that we can do and learn is that through Christ we can learn contentment. Whew. Contentment, a sense of well-being. Now, friends, I just want you to hear this. Contentment is a learned behavior. Did you hear me? Contentment is a learned behavior. And so is discontentment. And we've got that one down in our world. Amen? We've learned how to be discontented. We've learned how to want more. We've learned how more is better. We've learned how to judge other folks. And we've learned all of those things. But we can also learn contentment. We can find the contentment, the peace of Christ that only He brings. Because contentment comes this way. It is hope in times of poverty. Now, I'm not just talking poverty in terms of money. We can be in poverty in terms of our being, right? We can be in poverty in terms of our relationships. But poverty, we can learn contentment in the midst of that. When Denise and I used to go on mission trips with our youth groups, one of the things that always, always, always changed our kids' lives was being with people who had less than they had. And discovering that they were more joy-filled than they were. Amen? Because they had learned contentment. I used to drive old Mercury Grand Marquis. I called them my old lady cars. Now, no offense, ladies, but they were old lady cars because I bought them off of little old ladies that didn't put any miles on them. Okay? And so it might have been 12, 13 years old, but it had less than 30,000 miles on it, you know? And that was the car I'd buy. Usually, it was ugly, you know? And I remember pulling up to one lady's house who got a new car every year, whether she needed it or not. And she met me at the door, and she said, "Is that your car? Can't you do better than that?" Now, I almost turned around, didn't even go in, you know? Because I thought, you know, quite frankly, I'm happy with it. I've learned to be content with it. I can drive that car and still tithe, and I know you don't. That's what I wanted to say. You hear me? I can drive that car and serve Jesus by hauling stuff in it. I can drive that car. Do you hear me yet? We can learn contentment. You know? Society defines us in terms of our stuff, but God defines us by our relationship with Him. Amen? This kind of contentment also brings humility in times of wealth. What was it the rich young man wanted? To follow Jesus, and Jesus told him he had to give up everything in order to follow Him, and he turned around and went away not very contented, right? And the disciples said, you know, what's up? And Jesus says, you know, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich young man to enter heaven. And the disciples was, well, who can be saved then? And Jesus' response was this: with man it's not possible, with God, what? All things are possible. Isn't that what Paul's telling us? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be content because I am sustained in times of need. God sustains me when I'm warm. God sustains me when I'm in over my head. God sustains me in a place when I've got too many choices to make. God sustains me whenever I'm discouraged and I don't know what to do. God gives me a deeper satisfaction. God gives me all the things I can do through Christ. And here's one more last thing that I can do that are in the all things that you and I can do. We can do all things when we are on mission in times even of pleasure. Through Christ, we find our greatest joy in joining God in what God is doing for our lives and in our lives. We find our greatest joy in spreading His love for Him. Again, isn't that what Paul was doing with those jailers and those other prisoners and with the church? He was finding joy in spreading His love. Why is all this possible? Because of this promise that God has made. Jesus will give you everything you need to do everything He calls you to do. Just read that with me. Jesus will give you everything you need to do everything he calls you to do. He has called you to follow him. Therefore, he will give you everything you need to follow him. Amen? Gracious God, we thank you for the call that you place on our lives, and we thank you for your miracle that allows us to do all things, to love when it's difficult, to reach out and care for those that we have differences with, to be content, to trust you and not be anxious. We can do all things because your Son is with us and in us and for us, and nothing can separate us from his love. Thanks be to you, O God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.